Good evening. Am I on? Okay. I know some of y'all are just now figuring out who I am, given how much facial hair is on my face. First of all, I'd like to say thank y'all. I just finished up at Emmaus, and I would not trade that time for anything in my life, but it's good to be back home where there's sweet tea in this fridge 24/7. And I would like to say thank y'all just for all the support and prayers that I know you gave me during my time at Emmaus. When I came home, there was always hugs and handshakes and smiles and questions, and it was always a welcome. And as for what's going to happen next in my life, most people ask that. I have no idea. The Lord does. And so there's the answer to that question. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 18. When I was asked to speak, I was wondering and praying about what I should speak on, and the Lord brought a couple things to my mind. And the one that kind of floated to the top, or that he kind of impressed upon me, was the one that I had actually been studying and reading in my personal time, which kind of makes sense. The topic I was led to tonight is grace, or more specifically, forgiveness. Let's read Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who was owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what it was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. When summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." In this passage, Jesus lays out a parable or a story about forgiveness. He had just been asked by Peter on that matter specifically, as we saw in the beginning. Now, the background for this section is verses 1 through 20 related to various things. The Lord is very logical in the ways that he goes about teaching. He starts with the kingdom of heaven and faith, going on to stumbling in that faith, whether it's you or causing someone else to stumble, specifically children. Then talking about the Lord and his great concern for bringing people back to him who have stumbled in the faith. And then finally rounding it out to confronting brothers and sisters about their wrongs or sins and church discipline. Now in verse 21, Peter, the bold fisherman that he was, raises the question of forgiveness. He wants to know, how many times does he have to forgive his brother? I believe he's referring to brothers in Christ, specifically here, because in the previous verses, verses 15 through 17, he talks about how if you're confronting a brother and he's not repentant, that you should treat him as a Gentile. So I believe that as logically as Jesus is going about, he's teaching them about brothers in the church or people that are following him. That doesn't mean that forgiveness doesn't apply to non-believers, but specifically in this instance that Jesus is speaking about believers. Now, I think Peter's question was a fair one, or at least an honest one. I think that's one most people would ask. He's saying, how many times does he have to keep forgiving someone for multiple offenses? He says seven times, and obviously he feels that this is sufficient, if not excessive. However, I would like to point out that Peter does not ask, how many times should I be forgiven? He just asks, how many times should he forgive someone? But that's a topic for a different time. Now, if you forgive someone, that should be it. Case closed. You've forgiven them. If you have to forgive them seven times for the same wrongdoing, then I don't think you really forgave them in the first place. So what Peter is asking is not, do I have to forgive someone seven times for something they did, but do I have to keep forgiving this guy who keeps wronging me or just messing up multiple times. Jesus' response, though, was likely a shock for Peter. Peter had said 7 times, and Jesus said 70 times 7. Now, whether that's 77 or 490 times, depending on how you want to interpret it, that's still way more than Peter had suggested. Jesus jumps straight into a story without giving Peter time to jump in and to illustrate and emphasize his point. Verses 23 through 34 give an account of a king. He wants to settle up with his slaves. He finds that one slave in particular owes him a large sum of money that is, to be frank, impossible for this slave to pay off. Now, like the good businessman that the king is, he says, "You know what? I'm just going to sell you and your family, cut my losses, and that's it. No hard feelings. Sorry, but you owe me a lot of money." But the slave begs and pleads that he can be forgiven, and or not forgiven, given more time, and that he can pay him back. The king, moved with compassion, decides, "You know what? I'm just going to forget it. You can walk away clean, and you're free to go." So the slave stands up and leaves. But it seems that this slave has a little bit of short-term memory problem, or as my mom likes to put it, doesn't think before he acts. Because he goes out and finds his fellow slave who owes him some money, begins to choke him without saying a word, so he literally has him by the throat and starts demanding the slave pay him back. Now, the first slave owed his king about 10,000 talents, which equals years' worth of work. I was looking up how much that is, and there's some differences of opinion on how much that is, but the general consensus is somewhere between 10 and 15 years' labor for one talent. So this guy owed up to 100,000 years above that to his king worth of money, and he starts choking a guy over 100 days' labor. 100 days, that's 100 denarii. He so quickly forgot or stopped caring about what the king had done for him and just decided he wanted his money back. He wanted his fellow slave to make things right. Now, the first slave throws the second one in jail until he can pay, which is kind of counterproductive to me. And the other slaves see this, get a little bit distressed, and go tell the king. The king becomes furious and brings the first slave back in, says, "What are you doing? I just forgave you all of this, and then you go and throw your fellow servant in jail. You should have done the same thing I did and forgave him." So he gives him the same punishment that the second slave got. He puts him in jail to be tortured until he can pay. Now, Jesus wraps up the story by saying in verse 35, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So what's the point of the story? The point Jesus was trying to make is God forgave you, so you should forgive one another. It's found right in verse 33. "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you?" Now, forgiveness is a trait or act that is very dear to my heart. I've learned plenty of lessons about it at Emmaus and just generally during my life. I've been on the giving and receiving end of it, and I've spent a lot of time thinking and studying over it, particularly recently for some reason. This reason for my love for it has been I've been faced with numerous situations where I have to forgive somebody. And one day, it just dawned on me, or the Holy Spirit finally got it through my thick skull, that if the Lord can forgive me daily for everything that I have done and will do, then what right do I have to withhold forgiveness from anybody, ever? If the Lord can forgive me daily, what right do I have to withhold forgiveness? Now, I don't know of one Christian that doesn't need and shouldn't ask for forgiveness daily. We ask for it every day, and yet sometimes it takes us days, weeks, months, even years to forgive someone for something that could have started off trivial. The reason we should be quick to forgive is because how much the Lord forgave us. He forgave us everything, and we should mimic that. In this passage, we see an example of mercy and grace intertwined, an example the Lord Jesus says for us to follow. Mercy and grace work together, especially in this passage. Mercy would have been not giving the slave the punishment and letting him pay it back. Seems fair enough. Grace was forgiving him and letting him go free. Grace goes a step further than mercy, and grace gives something in the place of what mercy withholds. Just as God forgave his slaves, us, we should turn and forgive our fellow slaves, our brothers, no matter how many times they wrong us. Are we to let them sin and walk all over us? No. Jesus had just got done talking about how we should confront brothers and sisters when they are in a life of sin or they wrong us, and we should confront them and go through church discipline, but we should not hold grudges against them or be bitter against them because of what they've done. We should love them, care for them, and forgive them. and not ruin a relationship or a friendship. This past semester, I was in a business law class. It was my favorite class, probably of my business time at Emmaus, and it's one of the top that I had. Now, there's just one problem. It started at 7:30 in the morning, which, for a college senior who tries to get his classes before 9 o'clock, that's really early. Now, there was three people in my class, and to make a long story short, attendance was, shall we say, spotty at best. I was the best of the worst, so to speak. I only missed about four or five of the classes. That's two or three more than was allotted, so I wasn't perfect. The middle worst missed about a third of the classes. The worst of the worst, the slack one, he showed up for maybe a third of the classes. Oh my gosh. Eventually, our professor just stopped waiting and would start with just me. He would just start teaching, and they weren't going to show up anyway. So the end of the year came, and the last class came about, and we were all there. He sat down in front of us and said, "Attendance has not been perfect. So I've decided to not follow the Emmaus guidelines for attendance and not count any of it against you." Well, my jaw dropped, and my fellow students started silently cheering because they aren't going to fail the class. And I was stunned and very ashamed to say that the first thing that flashed across my mind was, that is not fair. I've showed up for so many classes, and they just get a free card. Thankfully, the second thing that flashed across my mind was the Holy Spirit pushing this in my head. What God did for you wasn't fair, so are you going to complain about that too? Now, I say all that to say this. We bark and bite and complain about unfairness and being wronged, but the truth is we just really dig ourselves a hole when we do that. If the Lord was to look at us and say, "Why didn't you forgive so-and-so?" And we say, "Well, Lord, he did this and this and this, and you don't understand. He borrowed my mower, and it was dented when I got it back, and I just can't take it anymore." And he looks down, and he says, "Well, you did this, 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 and this, and my son took it all." Now, how is that fair? Jesus' story is one of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and he died on a cross so that we can live forever. He forgave us everything, even killing him, and we can at least mimic that and let go of these silly temporary pains that we cause each other. Now, realistically, how do we live this out? Well, obviously, we forgive one another, but we can't just leave it at that. That seems rather simple to say. I think a big question would be, over what? Over everything. Did someone cut you off at the highway like they did to me yesterday, and I got mad, and then I was like, "Well, I'm speaking on forgiveness, so I can't get mad at them now." Or is a coworker lazy, and you're having to help him pick up his slack? Because the boss is going to get mad at both of you if you don't come up with the numbers. So forgive them and help them out rather than complaining about it or backbiting behind their back. Someone betrays your trust, a friend or someone that you just met at work. Forgive them and work it out. That's very hard to do. It's very hard to forgive someone that has broken a trust relationship with you. But if the Lord can forgive me or forgive y'all, then I think we can forgive them. The odds are we've done some, if not all, of these things, or worse, to someone or to the Lord, and the Lord has forgiven us for everything. So when someone does this to us, the least we can do is extend grace and forgive each of them. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you for the words that you laid on my heart and for speaking through me so that it was you speaking to this group of brothers and sisters, and not me speaking about you, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom that you have in picking topics for different people to speak on. I pray that it will touch hearts that it was meant to touch, and that we will each take these words to heart. I pray that we will think about forgiveness and our own sin next time someone does something that really irks us, Lord. I pray that we will not hang this over our heads as something that is burdensome, that we have to forgive this person again, but that we can look on it as a time to exercise grace, Lord, something that you have given us so much of. I thank you for helping me prepare this message. I pray for each of these hearts as they go about the rest of their day. And I thank you for this opportunity I had to speak, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.